Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
I hope that's where you know you're going today. Let me tell you, here's the reality. Not everyone that saith, and this is the words of Jesus. This isn't a Mike McCoy. This is not a denominational boundary. This is what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many shall say unto me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? And I shall say unto them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's the reality. Not everyone that dies goes to heaven. But if you go to many funerals, that's the way it's preached. It's an unpleasant subject today. I don't expect you to jump up and run circles around the house of God, and I don't think it's coincidence that our number's down today. The devil just fights hard against any preaching on the subject of hell. But it's missed within our congregations. When I preached on this last week, the Holy Ghost whispered to me, Brother David, coming up the road, he said, it still works. Luke chapter 16. That's where my text is at today, and you Bible students are already drawing a deep breath. Luke chapter 16, and I'll begin reading in verse 19. My reading's lengthy. I pray the preaching won't be too long, and the invitation will be extremely long today. Can I tell you, if you're here and you're lost this morning, you are an honored guest. I prayed for you today. You said you didn't. You might say you didn't know I was going to be here. Had a pretty good idea. Luke 16 and verse 19, the Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That means he lived in a luxurious lifestyle. Listen, I know that some of you in here today might consider yourself poor, but you are of the elite of this world. If you have a roof over your head and food in your refrigerator and you drove an automobile to this church today, you are living among the top 8% of the world. My friend, do not misunderstand. You are living sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Big difference right there. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Resurrect Lazarus. Send him to my daddy's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That's the word of God. Let them hear the word of God. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Father, I love you and I bless you, Lord. And Lord, I know you love me more than I love you, because God is love. And you have blessed us to be in this place today. And God, I ask you this every week. When I get behind the desk, I pray, Lord, fill my mouth, but guard my tongue. And preach me inside the bounds of the Holy Writ. And be glorified in what's done. Touch this house today, Lord. I pray those that are watching via Facebook or that might hear this on a CD at a later date. I'm praying, God, that my God in heaven to be glorified in this. You must increase and I must decrease. So bless your word for your sake. Save lost people. Reclaim the backslidden. And God, the saint of God, set us on fire afresh and anew. I praise you for what you're about to do, Lord. I say glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I read this from the Sword of the Lord publication I got from my Grandpa Ole. Grandpa gave me a set of books. I treasure them. They're worth more than a small fortune to me. On the subject of hell, the great preaching on the subject of hell, on the front of that book, here's what it said. Out of 260 chapters in the New Testament, 247 times, hell or judgment is referred to. Jesus spoke describing heaven one time in John 14, but many other times he spoke of hell and judgment. He's the authority on the subject. He's the one that created everything that was made by him. Hell was not created for the men and women made in the image of God, but it was created for the devil and his angels. But here's the sad reality today. Those that refuse Christ as Savior will share their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever, right along with Hitler, Mussolini, all the wicked men, Al Capone, all the men of yesteryear that we see and think and remember as being wicked, wicked men and people. Good moral men will die and spend forever in that place with these kind of people simply because they refuse Christ. Now here's a comment. Bob Jones said this. He said, we need some half crazy men, half mad men preaching for 6 months in America. And this was many years ago when Dr. Jones was still alive, on the subject of hell and preaching it hot and preaching it accurate and preaching it within our churches. I'm afraid in the congregations today, it's been left out. It's been ignored. It's come to this place where people think they can die and be all right without Christ. My friend, you cannot die and be all right without Jesus according to the Word of God. You cannot. That goes for my kindred and yours. It should be a priority in our life to see. I seen the rejoicing on the face of that mama at a Friday night revival. Glory to God. She didn't go to Walmart. She didn't go to a ball game. She brought a 9-year-old boy to a revival with a half-crazy preacher preaching the Word of God. He heard the Word of God, got under conviction. Dennis come running to an altar, slid in beside his mama, and asked Jesus into his heart. What if they'd have missed that night? I know it's not the most popular subject, and preachers do not fill their sanctuaries and their auditoriums with preaching like this in today's society. But I'm telling you what, Jesus said this, few there be that find it. I say to everyone under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary and on the internet this morning, if you die without Christ, you'll never make it to heaven. Amen. How much does it cost me to go to heaven? It costs God His only begotten Son. It's a pretty high price. We have here in this story, I don't call it a parable, for Jesus names an individual. That's unlike His other parables when they went nameless in other parables. He specifically named Lazarus in this particular story. I'd like to preach for a little bit this morning, if I may, on this thought. People you can't find in hell. Now I know what you're sitting here, the saved, the redeemed, the sanctified, the believer, the blood bought, those within the family of God. I know what you're sitting here thinking this morning. That's me. You'll not find me in hell. I called Charlie Morgan. I asked him if he could be here today to sing me the song, "The Only Fire I'll Ever Feel Is Burning in My Soul." But he had to work today. But I want you to know this. Bless God, it's true. It's true. The redeemed, the saved, the born again, those in the family of God. I'm not going to hell. Read my lips. I'm not going to hell. But not everyone that saith. Here's some people you can't find. If I may start in the back of this story and work my way through. He said they'd be persuaded. Neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Jesus is referring to Himself. We speak about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we say it so fast anymore that it seems to not mean anything to us. But I want to tell you, friend, He died for you. He died for you. He laid down His life. No man took His life. He said, "No man have power to take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again." He laid down His life for a sorry, no good hillbilly named Mike McCoy, Daniel. Bless God forever. He looked down through time. He saw me. Frankie knew that without Him, there's not a hope for you and I. And he said, "You know what? Hey, if I'm going to bring that bunch to heaven, I'm going to have to do it myself." And He died, and He was buried. God buried. God descended into the lower parts of the earth. He led captivity captive. It changed this particular passage of Scripture. And then He showed Himself on the third day. And then 40 days later, He ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olivet. And then He seated Himself at the right hand of the Father. And every now and then, David Andresen, He stands up on behalf of somebody. So you can't prove, I can prove that by the Bible. Let the Bible prove itself. Oh, Stephen's being rocked to sleep. And you know what Jesus done? He stood up and looked at him. And He opened up heaven so Peter, so old Stephen could get a glance of the Son of God standing beside the throne of the Father. Don't you know, he thought, in just a few minutes, that's where I'm going to be. I'm not going to feel the pounding of the stones or the gnashing of the teeth or the hurt feelings from these men, but I'm going to glory. That shows me that the soul sleepers that are so inclined to believe that are dead wrong scripturally. Jesus told the thief on the cross, He said, "Today thou shalt be with Me in paradise." What's that? Where did we find this? So you know what we see here? They won't be persuaded, but the moment that they step off, the moment that they're buried and lift their eyes in torments, here's who you can't find. You can't find the unconvinced in hell today. Everyone there knows that it's real. If you're here sitting here lost today, you may have a little bit of doubt. There may be that inkling. The devil may have blinded your mind lest you'd believe the glorious light of the gospel and be saved. And you're sitting here thinking, you know what? That may not be true. Can I tell you that God cannot lie? And this is God speaking. Hey, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. This is God speaking and saying they wouldn't be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Hey, they are. But in that day, you know what? They weren't convinced, but today, you can't find one unconvinced person in hell. Not one. Everyone there convinced it's real. Not only you come on up the story, you come on up the story coming backwards through the Scripture here. You not only see that they're unconvinced, you can't find the unconvinced, but here's what you can't find in hell, the unconscious. I hear people that know nothing of Scripture say this, Dusty. Often they'll say, we're going to pull out the keg and have a party when I get there. No, you won't. There's no kegs. There's no party. But they're completely conscious. You know the best sleep you ever had in your life? Anybody in here ever been put to sleep and had a surgery? Isn't that wonderful? I don't know, my head stopped up. I don't have any problem breathing. They knock you out with that stuff. You just go to sleep. Bang, you wake up in another place. Whoa, where did that go? Some people are of the opinion that's how it's going to be when they die. Without Christ, they'll just pass off into nothingness. They won't be aware of anything around them. They just cease to exist. That's not true according to Scripture. It is this. He's completely conscious. He has eyes to see. He has a tongue to feel. He has a mind to remember with. Hey, he has all these things that he had in this life. He is not yet in a body, but he will be one day. God will pull that dust up out of the earth. He'll put that soul that's in hell back in the body and cast it into the lake of fire. Revelation. And there it is. Completely conscious, aware of his surroundings, and he knows what's going on. I think part of the punishment in this particular passage is this. He can look across the gulf and see the old beggar that was full of sores and having a bad way in this life. But you know what? Hey, the tide has turned. He's no longer in that place. I thought of my good friend Uri Stone the other day as I was preparing in this message and reading these passages of Scripture. I thought Uri died here penniless. He didn't have a dime. How do you know that? Because he was in a nursing facility and they've taken all of his money. Even his family didn't get any of it then. It's gone. He died penniless. But you want to see the grace of God? He died without a penny in his pocket. Had one of the fanciest funerals that I was ever at. He's in a cherry box. The box, the funeral, the singing, the flowers, Uris didn't spend a dime on any of it. Praise God. God took care of him from the time he was born again till he buried him in the earth and he took his place with the Father. Hey, the old beggar's doing, can I tell you, Uris is doing pretty good today. I often wonder what he looks like, Danny. He'll know me when I get there. They thought he had died. I walked into the nursing home over there and they thought he was dead. They said, I think he's gone. And I said something and he rose up in the bed. He said, Brother Mike. He'd been hearing this old big mouth a lot of years. And that's the day he said this, Brother Brant. He said, do you hear him? Wait, I said, no. Yes, I thought he was talking about people out in the hallway, Troy. He said, do you hear him? I said, no. I said, they're making a little bit of racket out. He said, no, don't you hear them? I said, hear who, yours? He said, hear them. Said, they're yelling for me. I said, I don't hear them, but I'd like to. Can you hear them yelling for me? I buried Gaither. Maybe Gaither was in that crowd, his brother. Maybe old brother Gaither was saying, yours. Maybe it was George, buried George. Maybe it was George saying, Uris! Now, Uris is completely conscious. Lazarus was conscious. But all the bad things of Lazarus has now long disappeared. No more bad things for Lazarus. and no more good things for the rich man. Amen. It wasn't the fact that he was rich. It wasn't the fact that he had things. The fact was this, he didn't know God. I know a lot of wealthier people. I don't know many rich people, but I know some people of means. And you know what? They're some of the best people I know. And they help people. That's the reason a lot of folk don't have nothing, because they won't help nobody. God can't give you anything, can't trust you with it. Completely. You won't find one unconcerned person there. You can't find the unconvinced. You can't find the unconscious. You can't find those that are unconcerned. There are few churches in America today that are soul-winning stations. Few. I love this church. Love you people. Brother Junior says it's the best church in America. That's because he goes here. Our sisters from Brother Billy Fields Church, all the way down from Indiana today. Here they are, a couple young ladies from down there, and they would say the same about their church, and others say that about their church. That's why it's where their heart's at. Crossville, First Free Will Baptist Church, could we honestly say that we are a soul-winning station? And Brother Randy set it up perfectly this morning in pre-Sunday school when he said this, when he said, that's perfect, Randy, that we can have what we ask for if we believe that we can have it. I'm just going to tell you, I got to the place of preaching and wondering if anybody's going to be saved until Mike made the move on Wednesday night up there. Mike Baker come forward, and when he stood up and began to testify about how God had saved him, and I said, sir, may I ask how old you are? He said, I'm 68 years old. I'm telling you, the glory bells went off in my soul. I said, God, thank you for reminding me how good that is. When somebody comes from the grip of hell and death and steps into the light, praise God, how good that is to just have a little part in that. Here's the reality. Many church people in America today are more concerned about what they're having for lunch than they are about people being saved. Brother Junior said before service this morning, he said this. He said, you know, we've forgotten how bad hell is. Amen. You know who goes there? Our family that don't know Jesus. And there's a lot of them trying to fake it and make it. You can't fake it and make it. You'll never do it, friend. The Lord knows them that are His. He knows it. He knows this morning. Hell's as real for that teenager that dies without Christ, that's set under the anointed preaching of the gospel. They heard the truth time and time again, and they died, Dennis, without it. I've done a research this morning, early in the morning. You know how often someone dies in America? Every 3 seconds. Somebody just died. I wonder how many people died. I don't know how long I've been preaching, but I wonder how many people have died since the very minute, the moment I stepped behind that desk and began to preach. There have been many. Death has visited our congregation once again this past week with the passing of Rick Adkins. But I can look across this congregation and I can start picking families and I can start seeing you and I know, hey, been with you in the death of your loved ones. I'm glad to report, for the most part, Brother Dennis, we could stand with full assurance and give a testimony that they had a testimony that they knew Christ is Lord and Savior. If he was here, I'd preach it. He's probably watching on Facebook. but he didn't know what he'd done for Randy and myself that day. We were standing in hospital with Brother David Brass. Now, Brother David had come to the church many a time. He'd come to the church. He'd begin to come. But I'd never seen David make a move to an altar. I didn't know. I'll say this. I never seen some of you make one. And I wondered about David. And I'd ask him. He'd say, I'm okay. Well, but in the hospital bed, at Oak Ridge Methodist, unsolicited. Randy and I were standing there. Something was said about Jesus, and from the mouth of David Brass, with weeping, he said, "I know who that is." He said, "That's my Savior. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is my Savior." Randy was at his house, and he pointed to a place in the floor, and he said, "Right there. It's where I spoke with the Lord, Randy." What a testimony. Broken over lost people. Broken of the fact that without Christ, you don't go to heaven. You ever notice this? How the world loves the news of heaven and they reject the other side of the coin. They don't want to hear anything about hell. I'm just going to tell you. I read this from a John R. Rice story yesterday. When Dr. Rice said this, he said, "Don't tell me it's heaven if Adolf Hitler's there who killed 6 million Jews and running around." Died in that condition. Unsaved. If you had to worry about locking your doors or somebody hitting you in the head or killing you or all these troubles and trials, if hospitals follow us there, sickness follows us there, hey, that don't sound like heaven to me. That place I tried to sing about, that sounds like heaven to me. Are you still with me this morning? Lazarus. How are you doing today? I'm doing good. Had it a little rough on this side of heaven, but I'm in heaven now, and let me tell you, everything's good. Rich man, how are you doing? I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my daddy and my brothers. Send them there. Say, here's what folks say. I can't talk to them. Oh, you can. You won't. You won't talk to them. I'm afraid I'll offend them. So them dying and going to hell is better than them being offended. The illustration they gave in the book was this. If you were on a road that was 260 miles long and there was 247 signs saying the bridge is out, would you continue to run breakneck speed down that road, or would you just might heed the warning? Two old preachers in Louisiana putting up a sign said the end is near, turn around and go the other way. They're hammering the sign in the ground. The end is near. Turn around. Some guy drove by, rolled down the window and yelled out, "You nutcase! You religious fanatic!" The old preacher looked at the other preacher and said, "You think we should have put on the sign, 'The bridge is out'?" Sometimes it's just in how we say it. Here's the reality. Let me tell you a story. I'm done. And I've told this. You've heard me. But it don't matter. I was in Brother Grover and myself and some of the others were in Jerusalem in 1999. And Brother Junior Gardner was our tour host. And he was talking. I had heard a tape. I had heard a man preaching by the name of Ronnie Reagan. He's a Church of God preacher. And he's a good one. And I'd heard this tape, and it was a message on hell, and it was one of the top probably top five messages I've ever heard on the subject. I mean, he taught me some things in that message that I'd never seen in Scripture before, and it just, you know what he done? He made it real. You know what I'm trying to do this morning, Irvin? I'm trying to make it real. I'm trying to make it real so you'll respond. I'm trying to make it real so you'll understand. I'll tell you what I have done. I'm trying to paint a picture that you'll know. You know, and let the Holy Ghost do what He does with it. I'd heard that message from Ronnie, and I wanted to meet this man. And I thought I'd meet a big giant of a man from his stories. And this, I just thought he'd be, he's a pretty good sized fellow, but he weren't near as big as I thought he would be. His story began like this. He had a drunken daddy who was an abusive father. He beat him up pretty bad, beat his mama up. His mama's afraid to say anything to the daddy when he's beating on the boy because it just means she got a worse whipping too, and he'd get drunk. The drunker he got, the meaner he got. He just beat them up. He left them hurt and bruised all the time. They lived in fear. They'd just duck and dodge when he'd come around. They'd try to stay hid. Ronnie said, as he was growing up, said he got up to, I forgot his age. He was 10 or 12 years old. He said someone gave him a little lamb. And he said it was the first thing that ever really showed him affection. Said that lamb just loved on him all the time. Said if he sat down, that lamb get right up in his lap. Said wherever he went, that little lamb was right beside him. Said it healed like a dog. Said that lamb just bump into him. And the lamb began to grow, and they were growing together. And then he said it was the first thing that I really truly loved. I loved it with all my heart. I loved the lamb. The lamb loved me. When I'd come home from school, the lamb would be out grazing at the end of the driveway waiting for the school bus. I'd get off the school bus, the lamb would follow me to the house. He said, I got home one day and I was looking for the lamb. I noticed my lamb wasn't there and I thought, something's wrong. She's here every day. He said, I began to walk around and look, and I started toward the house. He said, I come up on my drunk daddy working on his old truck. Said the hammer's laying up on the fender and said it's covered in blood. Said he just looked at me and cursed real big. He said, went back to work. I walked around, and he said, at the end of the porch, I found my lamb. My daddy had taken a ball peen hammer and beat that lamb's head off. Said it was just a bloody mess. There it was. The only thing that loved me, and the only thing I loved, was laying there in a bloody mess at the end of the porch. He said, from that day forward, I decided this. I'll never love anything again. Never. And he said, I didn't. He said, I was mean. I was mean. I hurt people just because I could. Somehow he said, God, he said, it's the providence of God. He sent a young woman into his life. He said, nobody loved me, but for some reason, this woman wanted to marry me. We got married and said it wasn't a real good relationship, but we was married and we were living somewhere. And he said, I went into a store one day to get a bottle of liquor. He said, a man bumped into me accidentally. He said, when he touched me, he said, I turned around, balled my fist up, hit him in the jaw. And he said, I knocked him plumb across the top of a stack of liquor bottles. He said the liquor broke and spilled everywhere. One of the bottles broke. He said that man grabbed that broken bottle, come running at me. He said I dodged. He jabbed me up under the arm and cut my arm off my body. He said it was hanging by the bone. He said I took the fist that I had left and I beat that man till I don't know if I killed him or not. He said he was unconscious. I beat him to a pulp and then I passed out from loss of blood. Said, when I came to, I was in the ambulance, and there's a boy up on my chest working on me, trying to apply pressure to my arm. And he said, he looked me in the eye, and he said, Mister, are you a Christian? He said, I cussed the boy and passed back out. He said, some weeks prior to this, he had had two friends of his die drunken in a car accident, and said, somehow, Brother Randall, he said, somehow it was like smoke was inside this ambulance and I'd hear the voices of them boys yelling, Ronnie, don't come here. He said, I didn't know. I didn't respond. I was out of it. I've lost blood. I didn't know if I was hallucinating, hearing things. He said, I woke up in the hospital. Somehow, I survived. It wasn't long after that. His wife came home. She said, Ronnie, I'm not living like this anymore. This is a terrible way to live. They're having a revival down at the little church down the street. And she said, I'm going tonight. Would you go with me? And he cursed her real big and said, I'm not going to church with you. She went to church that night, and the old preacher got up and preached about the love of Jesus. She said, I don't know what happened. All I know is I got up out of my seat. I made my way to an altar. She said, I asked the Lord to save me. Felt like 1,000 pounds lifted off me. My attitude changed. My love for Ronnie, as mean as he was, changed. Everything, it said, in an instant, things just changed in me. And when she got home, Ronnie looked at her when she come through the door and said, what's happened to you? She said, Ronnie, I got saved tonight. Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. And I'm praying that you'll get saved too, Ronnie. It's the only thing that'll help you. He's a cursing her and having a fit, the weak drug on. Brother Donnie Wilson, she waited for the last night of the revival. And he told her, after saying, I will not go, all of a sudden on Friday night. So God just answers prayers, I'm telling you. Just keep on praying. On a Friday night, Ronnie said, I went in. Told her, said, I'll go, but I may not stay, and I'll sit in the very back. Said, I come in the church, sit in the very back. Said, no preacher got up to preach. He didn't know anything about me. My wife had not said one thing about me, didn't know anything about me. And the preacher began to preach. And he said, I want to preach tonight on a lamb that gave its life for you. He said, he had my attention. Because the only thing I'd ever loved in my life, even more than the woman I was married to, was a little woolly lamb. And it died simply because it loved me. That lamb didn't do anything wrong. It just loved me. And because it loved me, my daddy killed that lamb. He said, that man had my attention. He said, he began to preach about how much that lamb loved me. He said, the more he preached, the sweeter it got. He said, he'd give an invitation and said, would you come and let the lamb save you tonight? He said, I jumped up out of my seat, run to an altar of prayer, called upon the name of the Lord. I've been preaching the gospel. Not going to hell. You know what he is now? Concerned for the souls of other men. If you're here and you're lost today, you're more concerned about yourself. That's the way lost people are. It's the way I was, the way you are. We're selfish in that. And we may love our wife and our children, or we may love our husband and our children. We may love our parents. We may honor our moms and dads. We may do all these things. But when it boils down to it, it's this. I'm going to stay the way I am. I don't care if the lamb died for me. Can I tell you, the Lamb of God died for you. And He rose for you. And if you'll come today and ask Him to save you, He'll make intercession for you. And you know what? You can leave this world with this testimony. I know Jesus, and He knows me. Randall. God, I ask you today. Where are you at with the Lord? There have been a lot of people die since I began preaching this message. A lot of seconds have passed, and every 3, someone dies. As we stand to our feet, Randall sings, would you please come to an altar in prayer today and ask the Lord to save you, to save you.
Thank you for joining us at the Time of Truth. This is Pastor